Hello, everybody. I'm Kenneth Copeland. Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. Father, we thank you today. Oh, my. Oh, we're so thrilled at the things that are happening all over this world and the meetings that we just came from in Nigeria and the things that's happening all over the continent of Africa is just stunning. It's so wonderful. And we give you the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. Now, I preached in Canaanland, Nigeria at Faith Tabernacle, pastored by Bishop and David and Faye Yedipo. They began their ministry many years ago with four people. And, oh, brother, and now he's having five services on Sunday and he seats over 50,000 plus overflow. The last Sunday count was something like 325,000 people came to church on Sunday morning. I was blessed to get to preach the two services, so I only preached to 100,000, but I didn't feel slighted in a bit, I can tell you that. And the entire thing was ministers' conference, and the pastors that were there, we had over 4,000 ministers in that room, but they came from all over Africa, all over. There some friends that I know came from India and all over this world, and pastors in there that pastored big, huge churches, 20, 30, 40,000 people, and just marvelous. I want you to be a part of it. Let's open our Bibles first, once again, to Matthew chapter 16. Our golden text for these services that I have been privileged to minister. Are you enjoying the conference? I've never been to this conference, not one time, that there was not a very special anointing to receive insight, concept, and ideas concerning ministry, concerning the supernatural ministry. We're not natural people. Have you ever heard anyone say, "Well, after all, I'm only human"? You are not only human. You are a born again human.
Yes, sir.
You're a God human.
Yes, sir.
You're like Jesus. Hallelujah. You are not just a man. You are not just a woman. No. You're a God-bought, blood-bought, healed, indwelt man or woman. And you, help me, Lord. You have the seed of greatness inside you. Every born-again child of God can be great in spiritual stature.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. There's a Superman living on the inside of you. And his name is Jesus. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. All right, Matthew chapter 16, and look at the 13th verse. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" They said, "Some say that you're John the Baptist, some Elias,
others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he said unto them, Whom say ye that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, Now, when you come to know Peter, and you come to understand this man, you know he didn't hold up his hand and say, Thou art the Christ, Son of the living God? No. He said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter got excited. He's the one that got out of the boat.
Yeah.
Huh? He's the one that wouldn't stay in the boat. Lord, if it's you, bid me come. Well, what's the Lord going to do? Say, it's not me? No, he said, come. Now, I mean, Peter got out of the boat. And did you ever notice that beginning to sink, Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him? Step up here. Step up here. Now, had Peter been there and Jesus here, he couldn't have caught him. One more step and he would have been there. If he just said, I'm not sinking, I'm taking one more step here.
Yes, 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 yes.
He was that close. Just one more step. Oh, come on. Hallelujah. And that day that you got up and you said, I don't think I can go another step. Yes, you can. Oh, I don't have any more money. Who cares? Go another step. Hallelujah. But I'm so tired. Ah, get up and take another step. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Quit crying about it and get up and do it.
Yes.
You still love me? All right. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Now, who do men say that I am? And Peter said, Thou art the Christ. You are the anointed one, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. On the rock of revelation knowledge, Jesus has built and is building his church. That's what makes it built to last. Now turn to the 127th Psalm with me this morning. Psalm 127. Thank you, Lord. This is an amazing statement. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Now notice, they built the house, but it was a vain house. It didn't say that they couldn't build the house. They built the house. I've seen ministries that people built. and they don't last. The thing that is void, when people build a ministry, a people, personality, church games, religious ideas that build a ministry, you will not see the supernatural. A Holy Spirit-led pastor, a Holy Spirit-led shepherd, is a shepherd that divinely knows where the green pastures are for the flock. The shepherd that is led by the Spirit of God knows where the still waters are, where the flock can rest. The shepherd that is led of the Spirit and walks by faith and lives the life of the love of God, no wolf, no demon can get hold of that flock and destroy it. We're supernatural people. When the Lord builds the house, you have signs and wonders and gifts of healings and miracles and special faith. You have discerning of spirit. You have the word of knowledge, word of wisdom, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. Glory to God. You have people that pray. Bishop talking about prayer this morning. All Christian failure is a prayer failure. It's not a faith failure. It's a prayer failure. Amen. Of course, if you're a failure at prayer, you will be a failure at faith. Amen. I mean, that's just the way it is. Now, here's another thing I want you to notice. It is vain or worthless for you to rise up early. Now, I used to read that first part of that sentence and just stop there because I didn't like to get up early. It is vain for you to rise up early and sit up late to eat the bread of sorrow. Now, the word translated sorrow here is toil. Hard, toiling work. Amen. If you're building a ministry on toil and hard work, it will fail. Now, we work. Amen. You don't work, you don't eat. Amen. Isn't that what Scripture said? But if you're building your ministry on hard work instead of prayer, you're building your ministry on toiling at the ministry instead of resting in Jesus, in His ministry, the house will collapse. I was in a city a number of years ago, and I was invited to the home of one of the pastors of one of the largest church in the city. And he didn't much like the word of faith. Believe it in your heart and say it with your mouth and all that. He didn't like that much. And but he was nice about it, But he wanted I had dinner with him and his wife and Gloria and me. And one of my partners and his wife. And he had asked me some questions. You have that sense and feeling, I'm just not quite wanted here. Amen. I know you've been there. You know, where the fellow shakes hands with you, and instead of shaking his hands, he goes, you know, drop it like it's hot. It was a pleasant evening, but it wasn't just running over with joy. And so the evening was over, and we were walking out the door of his home. Suddenly, he just dropped to his knees right in front of me. It took me back for a moment. I wasn't expecting this to happen. He just dropped to his knees, and he caught my hand and put it on his head. My honey began to weep, and he said, "Oh, pray for me, preacher." He said, "I've substituted hard work for prayer and faith, and I'm failing." Now, he had a big church. So where was he failing? He's failing in his spirit, failing in his heart. He's not pleasing God, and he's not pleasing himself, and he's not pleasing anybody, and he knows it. And he already knew what the problem was. Listen to what he said. "I traded hard work for prayer and faith." Now, that's what upset him about the word of faith message, because he wasn't doing it and he knew it. And every time he heard it, it put him under conviction. It should have, because he was in that category right there. Getting up early, staying up late, worrying, toiling in your mind, feeding on the bread of sorrow. My, what a terrible, terrible existence. That's not what our loving Father had planned for you. That's not what he planned for your congregation. Because I'm telling you right now, if you're toiling and you're worrying and full of fear, guess what? So are the people in your ministry. Because they are an image and picture and offspring of you. Amen. Yeah, that's just inescapable. You can't get away from that. And it won't last. So, they that build the house, it not the Lord build the house, they that labor in vain that build it, getting up early is in vain, sitting up late is in vain, lying awake at night, worrying and sorrowing. And you're lying there, let's see, what is the answer to that? And you're searching your mind. Instead of sleeping, instead of resting, searching your mind. My brother and sister, the answers to ministry don't come from the mind. They come from the Holy Spirit revealing knowledge to your spirit. That is the rock upon which Jesus has built his church. But you're lying there questioning. You're like a person standing in front of a file drawer. And you open the drawer. Look at every file. Then you take them all out, put them in the floor, put them back one at a time. It isn't in there. Do you realize that? That file you're looking for isn't in that drawer. So it is in vain for you to keep digging in the same drawer. That's a vain action. And about the 50th time you've been through that drawer, your lightning fast mind should realize it isn't in there. It's not there. So where am I going to find it out? In the Spirit. Thank God for praying in tongues. A man that speaks in an unknown tongue, meaning unknown to you, speaks not unto men but unto God. Howbeit, in the Spirit he speaketh. Mysteries. The Greek text literally says divine secrets. Well, who are they secrets from? That devil. It's not hidden from you. It's hidden for you. Well, if it's a mystery, then how am I supposed to find out what it is? Well, you just continue reading in the 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter, and it'll tell you. I will pray with my spirit, and I will pray with my understanding. There it is. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Now, here it is. Let him pray also that he interpret. What does that mean? Well, you're praying in the spirit. Your mind is unfruitful. But if you pray, Lord, reveal to me what I'm praying in the spirit, then my mind can be fruitful. Huh? Now, don't forget Mark 11, 24. Therefore, Jesus said, I say unto you, whatsoever thing you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them as long as you're praying in a language you can understand. Now, that last part wasn't in there. He didn't say, as long as you're praying. He just said, when you pray, believe that you receive them. Thank you, Father. And I pray also that I interpret. And according to Mark 11, 24, I receive what I prayed in the Spirit. I receive the interpretation. I receive that mystery while it's still a mystery. It's my mystery. It belongs to me. It had to be good because the Spirit of love gave it to me. Huh? This is when you have faith in the love. Oh, yeah, he loves me. Say, God loves me. God loves Kenneth. I got the joy again this morning. Glory to God. Amen. Well, I'm praying in the Spirit. I believe I receive in the Spirit. This is where the answers are. This is where your strength is. Because you pray in the Spirit, you edify yourself, building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Right? What does edify mean? Well, that Greek word means to build, to charge. If you were a Greek-speaking person and you said, I need to charge the battery in my car, he would use that word translated edify. To charge up, to build up. So what do you do when you build up a building? Or you build up the battery in your car. You're building up your spirit man, the real you. And the scripture says, the strong spirit of a man will sustain him in times of trouble and bodily pain.
Yes, sir.
So how do you get a strong spirit? You spend time in the Word. You spend time at prayer, both in your understanding, but most of all in the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit, building up in the Spirit, thank you, Father. Most Spirit-baptized people do not spend enough time praying in the Spirit. Pray, how can you do what the Spirit of God wrote in the book of Ephesians, saying, praying perseveringly for all saints in the Spirit? You can't do it any other way. You can't pray for all saints in your natural mind. What are you going to say? Oh, God, I pray for all saints. That's about as far as it can go. Now, you pray for those you know right around you, but I guarantee you this, I can promise you this, if you're only praying in the natural, you're going to forget about half of those. You don't have enough hours in the day to pray in your natural thinking and in your natural mind to get the prayer job done that needs to be done. You forget what to pray about. You don't know how to pray as you ought. The scripture says, first of all, prayers, thanksgivings, intercession, supplication, and so forth, be made for all men, kings, and all that are in authority, that we, the church, the body of Christ, live and lead a quiet, peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. That there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ, the anointed Savior, the mediator, the intercessor. Amen. Well, now, what are you going to do with that? That is a big prayer assignment. What are you going to do with it? Oh, God, I pray for all men. And I pray for the president. I pray for the... I don't know the president. I don't know what he's doing. I don't know what his family is doing. I don't know what the prime minister is doing. Now that reminds me, Lord. Yeah. You said that civil authority, that means the police force and the military, that they're ministers of God for our good. Oh, Lord, not our military. See, it depends on where you live. You may live in a place that's very oppressive. Or if you're blessed to live in a place like we live in the United States. But still, hey, we got some serious problems in the United States. Here you got a family that lives in India, that the whole government them because they love Jesus. But they hadn't been able to get rid of him. And they have tried, and they have tried, and they have tried. You know why they can't defeat this couple? You know why they can't defeat their family? Or why they can't defeat their church? Because they spend time praying in the Holy Ghost. They spend time praying the power of God down on those government leaders. Well, you don't know how to pray for them as you ought. If you start trying to pray for those people in your natural mind, if you're not careful, you get mad at them. Well, you got to forgive them. I don't want to forgive them. Well, I don't care whether you want to or not. That's a commandment. Now we've thrown another issue into this thing. But Krasti pohrapakita. Oh, Father, oh, yes, I remember you saying this, Lord. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Ah, what a place to start. Because Jerusalem gets right, the rest of the world gets right. Oh, it's, folks, it's big. So I'm praying for the peace of Jerusalem. Okay, how do I pray for that? I don't know. Yeah, I do. Amen. Can you follow me here? Why praying in the Spirit is so important. You wake up in the middle of the night. Start praying in tongues. Start praying in tongues. Build a habit of praying in tongues and believing you receive. You can pray in tongues. You can go to the grocery store and stand in the checkout line and pray in the Spirit.
Yes.
Build a habit of continually making utterance in the Spirit. You don't even have to speak out loud.
Yes.
The scripture says praying to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, what's going to happen when you start doing that? Well, you be praying along, and you're praying in the Spirit, and then the scripture in the book of Isaiah comes across your heart, and you think, oh, yeah, this is the rest and refreshing. My spirit needs a rest. I'm taking my rest and I take my edification. Praise God. I take it by faith. Now, what is faith? Believe it in your heart and say it with your mouth. Hallelujah. And you just drag it. I believe in my heart that my spirit's man, the real me, is being edified and that I am being rested and I am being strengthened. Hallelujah. And I'm going to get out of this bed and I'm going to take one more step by the power of the living God. No sickness nor disease is going to keep me. No weakness, no tiredness. Hallelujah. And I'm certainly not going to quit just because I got a few years on me. No, sir. No. I believe I received that. Father, thank you. Thank you. I pray for this entire congregation right now. Now see, in the Spirit, I can pray for every one of you because the Holy Ghost knows what every person in here needs. Huh? This is the way you pray for your ministry. This is the way you pray for your congregation. You get up early on a Sunday morning. And of course you prepare. Of course you prepare your message. Of course, amen. But then you begin to edify yourself. And you begin to pray. And you ought to be well into praying for that congregation and the outreach of your ministry and the government all the way around on all sides. You ought to be well into that when the sun begins to peek its face over the hill. You've been up a long time praying in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Ah, you can sleep later. We got souls to win, bodies to heal, minds to restore. And right in here is all the equipment you need to restore every person in your congregation. Because you know what will happen? They'll begin to join you. And you teach it. Brother Copeland, I really would like to have the gifts of the Spirit manifest in my church. And we've been praying in the Spirit about this. We've been praying for 2 years or more about it. And we still haven't had any manifestations of it. Well, prayer is first. You got to preach and teach it. But I don't know anything about the gifts of the Spirit. Don't ever say that again. You told me the problem, not the answer. Amen. Does your Bible have 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14 in it?
Yes, sir.
Then you know what you need to know about praying in the Spirit. Amen. About the word of wisdom. About the word of knowledge. About discerning of spirits. Amen. About gifts of healing. About working of miracles and special faith and different kinds of tongues and interpretation of tongues. It's in the book. And the author of the book is on the inside of you. You begin to pray about it in the Spirit and read those chapters. If you're hungry enough, read them every day, day in, day out. But don't just read them. Preach them! As you begin to preach, what happens? Faith comes. Faith comes. When faith comes, wisdom comes. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. And the Spirit of God is your teacher. You think he knows about the gifts of the Spirit? Oh, yeah, he invented them. That's him. That's the way he works. That's the way he manifests himself. But the people have to have faith to receive it.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Amen. You build up in your spirit praying in the Holy Ghost, praying in tongues, praying in tongues. You pray in tongues long enough, you can find out anything you need to know from the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah.
He's in there and all of it's in him.
Yes.
Look with me in John's Gospel chapter 16, please. John chapter 16. Hallelujah. Look at the 13th verse, please. Jesus is speaking. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will. Say, he will.
He will.
He will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. He will show you things to come. He will glorify me. For he will receive of mine and shall show it unto you. Look at verse 15. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore said I, he shall take of mine and show it unto you. That means, in the Spirit, we have access by the Spirit to everything God has. Hallelujah. Glory be to Jesus.
Yes, sir.
The whole storehouse belongs to you. You want me to tell you why? The whole storehouse is living on the inside of you. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Faith calls things that be not as though they were. Think this through with me. Lord Jesus, why is it my ministry is just not going anywhere? I don't have the money I need. The gifts of the Spirit are not being manifest. Now, that's not calling things that be not as though they were. That's calling things that are the way they are. There's no faith there, so there's not anything to change that. Now, think about this. Father, Lord Jesus, why is it my ministry is growing so big? Now, I just ask the same question. But I added the element of faith. The thing is still stagnated. It still doesn't have any money. But that isn't what I said. I said, how is it that my ministry is growing so? How is it that I'm so prosperous? How is it that the gifts of the Spirit are manifesting themselves? Then he will, by the Spirit, tell you why. And when he says, it's because, let's just say for instance, he said, it's because you continue to walk by faith and not by sight. He just told you the answer to your problem. You've been walking by sight and not by faith. But you put it, you call things that be not as though they were, and he can answer you in that category, in that envelope. And he's speaking by faith, you're receiving by faith, and now you know what the problem is and you can fix it. Oh, Lord. Lord, why is it that my praise life is so powerful? And then he'll tell me, and when he tells me, I'll find out why it hasn't been powerful. Are you seeing that?
Yes,
I'm calling things that be not as though they were. Now, here's what I'm doing. I'm speaking the desired end result. Now, isn't that what Jesus did? Walked up to the fig tree and said, no man eat fruit of you again hereafter forever, and turned around and walked away. Now, did he tell the tree to dry up? No. Did he tell the tree to burn down? He just said, no man eat fruit of you again hereafter forever. He didn't care how the Father did it, because he said, it's the Father that dwells within me. He does the work. He didn't care how he did it. But there ain't nobody ever going to eat anything off that tree again. I don't care if it lived 1,000 years. Lightning could have struck it and ended it. That's not the problem. It's not ever, ever going to have any fruit on it again. Because the desired end result was spoken by faith. Let's go back to where we have been in 1 John chapter 4. Let's bring this element into this message. 1 John 4:16, we have known and believed the love that God has to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. We have believed the love. Yeah, thank you, Lord. Let's go to Mark 11. Jesus, classic teaching on faith. All teaching, preaching on the subject of faith should begin and end on Mark 11, 22, 23, 24, and 25. We're already talking about the fig tree. Verse 12, on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. Seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he came, if happily he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. All right. No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. Nine words. It doesn't take 300 words to release faith. Well, yeah, but Brother Copeland, I mean, that was Jesus. You know, he could get it done in nine words. It may take 100 words for me. No, it's not your much speaking, it's the quality of your speaking. Faith. It may only take one word. Go! To get the job done. The important thing is to know what the Spirit of God is telling you to speak to this situation. How are you going to find out? You have to stay on your knees before him and inquire of him until you know the words to speak. Well, what if it's an emergency situation? Well, of course. But don't do your speaking in the natural. If it's an emergency situation, you go into emergency gear. Yeah, but I need to talk to the devil. Yeah, well, talk to the devil. Though I speak with the tongue of men and angels and have love. Huh? You're saying something the devil can understand. You're saying something your angel can understand. Now, though you speak with the tongue of men and angels and have not love, you're just noisy. Mm. Hallelujah. This is the reason you need to read the book of 1 John every day. What's happening? Faith is coming. Faith in the love is coming. Hallelujah. All right, we'll wrap this up right here. Now listen to me carefully. Listen to the Spirit of God carefully here. Nine words. They came to Jerusalem. Jesus went into the temple, began to cast them out, the soul and so forth. Then, verse 19, when evening was come, he went out of the city. In the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which you cursed is withered away. Jesus answering saith, have faith in God. But now for our study, here's what he said. Remember, God is love. Right? So, once your mind is renewed that God is love, he doesn't have love, he is love. Amen. Love never fails. Why? God never fails. Amen. So your mind should immediately say, have faith in love. In the beginning, love created the heavens and the earth. Love did that. Now, if the people that believe God bring sickness and disease on people to teach them something or whatever other crazy thing, but if they're right, then I want to know on what day God created cancer. Because if it's something he sends on somebody, it's going to have to be something he created. Because he's not going to go to the devil and get something that he came up with and put it on his people. What's the matter with us to ever think anything like that? No, 1,000 and 1,000,000 times no. Why? Love doesn't put cancer on anybody. That's abusive. Amen. The only person that Jesus ever put sickness on was Jesus. The only person that God ever put poverty on was Jesus. The only person that ever bore sickness, disease, poverty, and curse by faith was Jesus. He made himself obedient unto death. If he hadn't, you couldn't kill him. You can't kill the blessing of the Lord. Well, then how did he become obedient to death? How did he humble himself? How did he connect with it? He wasn't in fear. Huh? How did it happen? You and I receive life. We receive healing. We receive our prosperity and deliverance from poverty by faith. Jesus received death. Jesus received sickness and disease. Jesus received the curse of poverty. He became poor that we might become rich. He didn't become poor in his earthly ministry. A poor man don't need a treasure. I want to ask you a question. Did Jesus tithe? Of course, if you don't tithe, you're a thief. Well, it all belonged to him. No, it didn't. It belonged to the Father. And he gave it to him. Some of you got a revelation this morning. Some of you just decided to tithe. No way Jesus could have ever been financially poor in his ministry. He had people ministering to him of their substance. Listen, when you're preaching to 50 to 100,000 people every day, day in and day out for 3 years, you're not going to go broke, I can tell you that. In the middle of signs and wonders and miracles, and when you run out of food, you just create some. Mm-hmm. Glory to God. But you see, the people were part of that fish and bread miracle. Because in the sixth chapter of the book of Mark, the verse that most people don't read in connection, it said, he saw the multitude and he was moved with compassion, for he saw them as sheep without a shepherd, and he taught them many things. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The shepherd taught. The people heard. And it broke out in great prosperity. They had faith. for that food miracle because he taught them many things. Pastors, shepherds, the law of supernatural increase is in your mouth. Preach it to your congregation. Preach it, preach it, preach it. The stupidest thing any pastor ever did was preach poverty to the same people he receives offerings from. That is stupid. Not only stupid, it's ignorant of the scriptures. God needs you rich and healed and well to get the job done. And I'm out of time. My. Glory, glory, glory. Glory, 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 glory. Have faith in love. For verily I say unto you, whosoever, so any human being can do this, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his head, no, in his heart, the spirit man, the real you, but shall believe. Now notice this. What do you believe? Well, I believe that Jesus is Lord. Well, yeah, he's Lord, but it won't work here. Well, I believe Jesus was raised from the dead. Well, yeah, he was, but that won't work here. Shall believe that those things which he says will come to pass. Now let me give you some wisdom here. Here's a situation. It needs to be removed. The mountain of a disease, a mountain, whatever it is. And you're about to say something and you're sitting there and you know you don't believe this is going to come to pass. Keep your mouth shut. Start believing it in your heart. Huh? You go get your CDs. You go get messages from bishops. Glory, thank God for living in the 21st century.
Yes, sir.
Man, we can have the word of God playing at us 24 hours a day. Yes. You can get so strong it can't nobody stand you.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Go build it up. Go start saying what the preacher, what the bishop, what the pastor is saying on that CD, on that DVD. Glory to God. You go total immersion. You immerse yourself in the word of God. You ain't got time to be watching movies. You ain't got time to be reading some stupid novel. People are dying out there. We ain't got time for that.
Yes, sir.
You go total immersion in the word of God. You don't have time to waste a lot of time running around with people who talk doubt and unbelief all the time. The yeah, but what if crowd. Well, I know the Bible says that, but what if? Well, yeah, but what if God loves me? Try that what if for a change. He does. That starts working in me. Yeah, but my Father loves me. My God loves me. My God loves me. And he casts the fear out of me. The fear that what I say is not going to come to pass has to go. It has to leave. It cannot stay in me in the presence of the love of God going in my eyes and going in my ears and going in my heart and coming out my mouth.
Amen.
And you just keep listening. You just keep listening. See, faith has to come. Faith cannot not come. This is a spiritual law. That's the way faith comes. Faith cometh. There's no such thing as faith that won't come. Amen? There's no such thing as water that won't boil. You got the water, you got the pot, and you got the fire. It will boil. If you leave it on there, it'll boil. Why? Spiritual laws work the same as natural laws. That's a law of physics, and it'll work for the saved or the unsaved. That'll turn on the fire and leave the pot on the fire. And when it gets to 212 degrees Fahrenheit or 100 degrees Celsius, the water pot's gonna boil. You get in the Word of God and you keep listening and you keep praising and you keep worshiping and you keep dancing before the Lord. Faith is coming. Faith is coming. Don't try to feel it. Don't try to test it. Know it. What is 2 plus 2? Huh?
4.
It's always 4.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Some fool in the government may said it was 5, but it ain't 5. It's 4. Now you gotta know Romans 10:17. The way you know 2 times 2 is 4, 3 times 3 is 9, 10 times 10 is 100. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes. It can't help it. Now start using your faith on your faith. Come on, faith. My faith's coming. Glory to God. Faith is coming. I'm hearing and faith is coming. Run that thing back to the first and play it again. Glory to God. Turn up the volume and hear it all over the house. Stick that thing in your ear. And just feed your faith. Get up in the morning, call the children in, get the Bible out and say, let's feed our faith. Amen. Feed your faith. Then use your faith. He told you how to get rid of the mountain you don't want and how to receive the mountain you desire. The mountain you don't want, cast it into the sea. The mountain you desire, believe you receive when you pray.
Yes, sir.
You don't want it, cast it out. Something you won't, receive it. And like Sister Gloria always said, take it when you pray. If you haven't taken it by faith, you're not done praying. You haven't prayed yet till you believe you receive. Turn with me, please, to Psalm 91. Psalm 91. The 91st Psalm is a love story between a man of faith and his Savior Jesus and his loving Father. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Now here is the man of faith. In this case, I will represent the man of faith. I will say of the Lord.
is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. I have spoken my faith. Jesus said, you have what you say in Mark 11, 23 and 24. As a man of faith, I have spoken. That's the last thing I'm going to say in this entire story. The next phrase is spoken by my Lord and Savior Jesus. Kenneth, surely He, the Lord, shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and the noisome pestilence. The noisome pestilence is the trap of disease. Sickness and disease is a trap laid by Satan. And people get into that trap, and that sickness and that disease robs a mother from her children, steals her children, and grieves her in her life. That problem of sickness and disease will steal a loving husband from his family and cause him to die young. It is a satanic trap. But Jesus was made a curse for us to break that trap over our lives and bring health and divine prosperity. Hallelujah. Kenneth, surely He will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover you, son, with His feathers, and under His wings shall you trust. His truth, His word, shall be your shield and buckler, the mighty armor of the Spirit. Now listen to this. Remember what we read? Perfected love casteth out fear. Say it. I will never be afraid again. My Father loves me. Thou, Kenneth, you shall not be afraid for the terror. You don't have to be afraid of terrorists. You don't have to be afraid of those that would attack your household. No, your household is covered by angelic power. Hallelujah. You'll not be afraid for the arrow that flieth by day. You'll not be afraid of missiles and bombs. Amen. Nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for destruction that wasteth at noonday. Wasteth. Destroys, devastation, plague, stroke, the mark of leprosy. My. And listen to this. Kenneth, 1,000 shall fall at your side, son, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Now listen to this. Only with thine eyes shall you behold and see the reward of the wicked. Now listen to this. Listen. You know what he just said? It's like a bad movie. It looks like to you and to me, we're in the secret place. looks like to you and me. They can't find us. The devil can't find you. You're in a secret place. The secret place of the Most High is the blessing of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Now listen, he said, now Kenneth, because you have made the Lord, now remember this is Jesus speaking, because you have made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, your habitation. There shall no evil befall you, neither shall any plague come nigh your dwelling. Here's what I told you a moment ago. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all of your ways. Hebrews chapter 1, right quick. Hebrews chapter 1. Verse 13. To which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Listen, are they not angels? Angels, angels. Are they not all sent forth? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be the heirs of salvation? Jesus said, every child has an angel. This is still true. You didn't lose your angel just because you grew up. But until you're born again, that angel is extremely limited because of the things that you and I did and said before we got saved. But nevertheless, you have an angel that's doing everything he possibly can to keep you protected long enough to get you saved. Amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. Say, I have an angel. He works for me. And he works to minister for me. Well, Brother Copeland, I thought he worked for Jesus. Well, yes, but Jesus assigned him to you. You can speak with him. Ministering spirits, go. He will give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. They, your angels, shall bear you up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone, Kenneth. Every time when we got into the ministry's airplane to fly to this conference, before I ever started the first engine, we bow our heads and we pray. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we plead the blood over this airplane for protection against every evil spirit, every evil person, every evil thing. Every wicked plan of the devil is bound and stopped and thwarted. Ministering spirits, angels of God, lift us up, lest we dash our foot against a stone or a mountain. Keep us in all of our ways according to the 91st Psalm. And Father, bless our partners in this ministry beyond measure. Hallelujah. They're the ones that are sowing into the ministry. They're the ones that are bringing these things to pass at God's command. And we're a team together, our partners, God and these angels. Can you see it? Shout amen if you can. Kenneth, thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder. The young lion and the dragon shall you trample under your feet. But verse 14. All of that, I spoke one statement of faith. Jesus began speaking to me in verse 3. And he has spoken all the way up through verse 13. But now, my loving Father, my dear Abba, for we have not received again the spirit of fear to bondage, but we have received adoption whereby we cry, Abba, my loving Father. My Father says, Jesus, because Kenneth has set his love on me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high. If you look that up, the word set on high literally means so high he's beyond capture. You're so high up in that secret place, the devil don't know where you are. You're so high he can't get your hands on you. Glory to God. And because Kenneth has known my name, he's known my authority. He knows my name. He knows I am Jehovah Rapha. I am the God that heals him. He knows that I am the God, his righteousness. He knows that I am the God, his provider. Hallelujah. He knows I am El Shaddai. I am the God that's more than enough. See, his name is not just God. Someone said, well, healing has passed away. God doesn't heal anymore. Well, then he would have to change his name. His name is God the Healer. Amen. Say it, I'm healed right now. No, say it like you mean it. I'm healed right now. Kenneth will call upon me. I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. And with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Oh, glory, glory, glory. Don't you love it? That's a love story. It's the soldier's song. I have a very, very close friend, colonel in the United States Army Special Forces, and he went to Iraq. I laid hands on him right before he was deployed. Gloria and I did. Stood on some of these scriptures with him. He said, Kenneth, I'm taking over a unit that is the highest casualty rate, the highest killed in action rate of any group in the area in which I have been assigned. I said, Colonel, you have your men memorize this 91st Psalm and treat it just like you do the orders of the day. Now, in the American military, it's been, well, been a long time since I was in the Army. I was in the Army in 1957. That's a long time ago, baby. Amen. Hallelujah. And if anybody, when you're in basic training, anybody walks up to you, I don't care who they are, General Order Number 5, you better quote it. General Order Number 2, you better quote it. You better be able to quote it forward and backward. If you can't, you're in trouble. I said, now, do that with the 91st Psalm. Cause your men to memorize it, and you walk up to one of them, and you say, verse 8. And he'll say, only with my eyes I see the reward of the wicked, sir. So every man in his company, every man in his entire command, because he wasn't just a company commander, but everyone in his command had to memorize the 91st Psalm. I said, now at the end of your tour, call me. So he was gone 2 years. I got a call one night. Gloria and I are in bed, sound asleep, and I get a call at 2 o'clock in the morning. I picked it up, and it's Colonel Kirby. Brother Copeland, wake up! I said, I'm awake, Colonel, what is it? He said, I just got back to the United States and I want to report to you, not one man wounded, not one man killed in the entire 2 years. Now, he called me then, several months later. He said, Kenneth, since I'm gone, now they're not having as many casualties as they used to, but he said they've gone back to having people injured and killed again. Why is that? I said, Colonel, that's very simple. Some of the men have continued on with the 91st Psalm. Others of them just quit because you're not there to make them do it. And the ones that quit, Satan moved back in. Amen. So praise God. Verse 13, thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder. Hallelujah. Learn it. Memorize it. It's a love story from God to you. Hallelujah. His love is so real. It is so big. It is the greatest and grandest thing in all of the universe. For God is love, and love is God.
Open your Bibles with me this morning to 1 John, the 4th chapter, please.
And verse 16. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Listen to this. Because as he, Jesus, as he is, so are we in this world. My, my, my. There is no fear in love. Well, of course there's no fear in love. God is love. Say it. God is love. There is no fear in love. Perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. Hallelujah. Now, notice we have known, but that's not enough. We have known and believed the love. Amen. We have known and believed the love. We have faith in God who is love, then we have faith in love. Most people, I'm talking about Christian people now, most Christian people, if you were to ask them, do you believe God loves you? They would say, well, of course I believe he loves me. But in the middle of the night, when fever comes, a child is sick. Oh, God, why did you let this happen to me? Love never made your baby sick. Love didn't allow your baby to be sick. You allowed your baby to be sick because God, who is love, has put the authority over sickness and disease in your heart and in your mouth. Amen. Instead of standing there, oh, I just don't understand why God put this on me. Oh, shut up. Just shut up. God is love. Would you ever put sickness on your baby? Well, how much more? A loving God would never, ever put sickness on anybody. God has never made but one person sick. God has never made but one person poor. That person was Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son. And he laid your and my sickness and disease upon him. Love did that. Love and the Son of his love did that. Not only that, love himself went to hell, my brother and sister, where we don't have to go. Isn't that good? You ought to be shouting by now.
went to hell where I don't have to go. But he didn't stay there but 3 days and nights. And love broke open the bowels of hell. The mighty power of his word went coursing down through the eons of time and hit Jesus while he was suffering and looked like he was destroyed. Ah, but the word of the living God came through there and said, that's enough. That's enough. Jesus was manifested in the flesh in Bethlehem, but he was made alive in the spirit in the pit of hell. Hallelujah. And all of a sudden, the Isaiah, the 52nd chapter, the fourth verse said, he was so marred, he didn't even look human. And in their suffering, been made a curse for us. For cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on you and me. But in the depth of hell, deeper in the pit than any man had ever gone before or ever will go, because he bore it all. Amen? And in that pit, the word of the living God, you can read it in the first chapter of the book of Hebrews. And to the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever. And again I will be a father unto him, and again he shall be my son. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The first man to ever be born again. He is no longer the only begotten Son of God. In the first chapter of Hebrews, it said again, when God, who is love. See, every time you hear the word God, you need to think love. And every time you think love and hear love, you need to think God. Amen. He's called the firstborn. You didn't get it. I said he's not the only begotten. He's called the firstborn from the dead. Oh, the firstborn of many brethren. Hallelujah. If there's a firstborn, they got to be a secondborn and a thirdborn, and you and me are in there somewhere. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Somebody ought to be shouting, hey, man, by now. Glory to God. God, who is love, think about this. There is nothing, no thing that you can do to cause God, who is love, to love you any less. Let me ask you a question. When God created the earth, what did he say? He saw that it was good. It was good. Now, if God is going to put sickness and disease on you, where is he going to get it? There's not any in heaven. Jesus said, pray ye, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, that means that it's God's will for you to be healed all the time, every time, because there's no sickness in heaven. On what day did he create cancer? Well, of course not. He did. Love would never have created cancer. Cancer came from the darkness. Cancer came from sin. Nobody had sinned or died until Adam sinned and died. There was no sin. There was no death. There was no sickness. There were no storms and violent weather. There were no wars. All sin, sickness, disease, and fear were brought into the human family because of the hatred that Satan has for mankind. And Jesus went to hell and redeemed us from that sin because of his great love for mankind. Hallelujah. Somebody needs to be shouting amen right along in here. Now then, in the 8th chapter of the book of Romans, shall we look there, please? Romans chapter 8, in the 15th verse. Now remember, we read, perfected love cast out fear. Now fear can be managed. There are people that are afraid to fly in an airplane, but fly in it anyway. Or in other words, manage the fear. Some people have never even learned how to manage the fear. But we're not talking about managing fear. We're talking about casting it out, getting rid of it. Amen. Thank you, Lord. And he said here, we have not received the spirit of bondage. Say it, spirit of bondage, again to fear. Fear, and we'll see it in a moment, is bondage. But you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry. We're supposed to be crying this. We're supposed to be shouting this. We're supposed to be laughing for the joy of this. You ought to say this at least 100 times a day. We have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The word Abba means loving father, loving daddy, the one who loves me and cares for me. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord. As you see, I can't stay up there. I got to get down here where I can talk to you. Praise God. No. We're not afraid of our father. No. The first time I ever read that in the 17th chapter of John, that God loves me as much as he does Jesus, I thought, what? Can I say that? See, I didn't know. All I had was a religious mind. And religious people are afraid of God. As if he's just sitting there waiting, you know, just to... I'm going to tell you something. Somebody said, you better watch out. God gonna get you for that. My brother and sister, if God ever got you, there wouldn't be nothing left. They just say, what is that greasy spot right there? Oh, that's where that guy was that got God. No, he's a loving father. You know why it's impossible to please him without faith? Because without faith, there's no grace. And without grace, he can't bless you. He's a blessing God. That's the reason he remembers our sins no more. He said, for my own sake, I remember your sins and iniquities no more. I said, Lord, you mean for my sake? He said, no. He said, for my sake. He said, you want to remember ugly stuff about your children? I said, no. He said, well, I don't want to remember anything ugly about you either, boy. He said, in fact, if I remember your sins, I can't bless you. And love wants to bless all the time. He loves you and he wants to bless you. But think about it. Think about it. You ought to be thinking about it every day. Every morning when you get up, you ought to say, Abba. Oh, Abba, my loving Father. I love you today. And I cry. Hallelujah. I've got a Father. I have a Father. I have a Father. Oh, I have a Father. And he loves me. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. Why?
Because he's with me. Thou with me. The servant that hath comforted me.
Yeah, and he's the biggest thing in the valley. And hey, may I ask you a question? Have you ever seen the shadow of a dog bite anybody?
No.
This is not the valley of death. It's the valley of the shadow of death. There ain't nothing to be afraid of a shadow. That's just the devil trying to spook you around, man, and say, ooh. He said, I'm going to kill you. You can say, ha, 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 ha. Did you know that scriptural? The word says that God sits in the heaven, who is my Father, sits in the heavens, laughing. Come on. He sits in the heavens laughing at the devil. Now, does it say this or does it not? That we have been raised up together with him to sit together with him. If we sit together with him, we can laugh at the devil with him. Oh, that'll get joy all over you, brother. And the joy of the Lord is his strength. If you've been too weak, you're lacking in joy. Oh, Brother Copeland, I don't see nothing funny. Well, go look in the mirror. You'll laugh at that. Look at yourself. See, you can laugh by faith, whether you feel anything or not. Ha, ha, ha. Devil. Ha, ha, ha. Ha, 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 ha. You think I'm sick, but I'm not. Ha, 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 ha. You think I got pain in my body, but I don't. By faith, I don't have any pain. I have a daddy. I have a healer. I have faith in God who is love. Ha, ha, ha.
Pastor Gloria, there's been times that we got a better hotel room. There were times when we even got a suite of hotel rooms. But this is the first time anybody ever built us a house.
Bishop was studying her book on God's will is prosperity. When the Lord manifested himself to him, the word got through to him and the in-depth revelation of it, that prosperity is a covenant with God. And he built Gloria a home in Africa. Amen. Come into the living room. Isn't it pretty? This was done at a dinner our first year here. And someone sketched that portrait of Gloria and me in our African dress. Amen. And this is the dining room. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Follow me, Mark. I'm going to take you up to Gloria in my bedroom. Okay, come on. And here is our sitting room. It's just a relaxation place, and there's a little balcony off the back of the room out there that looks out towards Bishop's home. You can see all of this is relatively new. All of this complex is all just over a year old. So, and this home right over here is where Bishop Oyedepo, he and Faith, and this is his office. He walks from just through a walkway from his home through to his office. And you don't understand what a blessing that is because of the size of this place. Now, right here, this is my study, and I can come over here and I can read all of the Kenneth Copeland and Gloria Copeland books. I can go in here and read all of Kenneth Hagin's books. And I can come in here and read all of David Oyedepo's books. It's just marvelous. This is the master bedroom. Amen. Well, this is our place in Africa. I hope you enjoyed it.
Dare. Dare to know that you are the righteousness of God in Christ. Dare to be the one who is in peace, not turmoil. Dare to believe and trust God's love for you.
The work of righteousness shall be wholeness, peace, prosperity, nothing missing, nothing broken, and the effect of it is quietness and assurance forever.
Dare to take your place. There is no limit to your righteousness. A 3-CD series by Kenneth Copeland, revealing the significance of knowing who you are in Christ. Understanding your covenant with God provides the very foundation on which your identity and authority stand. It empowers and positions you to expect and experience the abundant life God designed for you. Dare to do what God has called you to do and succeed. Dare to take your place.
It's time to take your rightful place as a child of God. Request your free CD set, Dare to Take Your Place by Kenneth Copeland. Discover what belongs to you and how to begin living in your rights and privileges through Christ. Visit our website at kcm.org/TV special or call 800-600-7395. Ask for your free Dare to Take Your Place CD set today. Offer good for 60 days.
Father, I pray for every person in the sound of my voice that has never accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. I'm asking you, sir, I'm praying that they come to the revelation and the realization right now that heaven is real and hell is real. And it's time for them today to receive you, Lord Jesus, as their Lord and their Savior. Now listen to me. If thou shalt confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart, or the inner man, believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Jesus did all the hard part. He went to hell so you don't have to go. The only thing he didn't do is pray your prayer. So you're going to pray it right now, amen? So just lift your heart and lift your hand and say, Father, in the name of Jesus, pray it out loud. I believe with all my heart that you raised Jesus from the dead. Lord Jesus, come into my life, my heart. Take my life and do something with it. I receive you. I'm asking you to fill me with your precious Holy Spirit. I repent of sin. I renounce it. I renounce the devil and everything he stands for in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, you're born again. You have unlimited access to all God has through Jesus. Amen. Well, brother, I didn't know that. I know it. That's why I want to send you this little book. It's called He Did It All For You. I want to send it to you free and postpaid. And I'm going to show you that these two little brochures will show you how to begin to read and understand your Bible. Praise God. I want to send it to you and bless you with it. Just write us kcm.org and request it, and we'll get it to you postpaid.
Welcome to the Toronto Victory Campaign, everybody!
I've been looking forward to this meeting for a long, long time.
Praise God, it's good to be back in Toronto. What a place to be. What a time to be here.
You're born of and after the forever spirit. You're born to greatness. Eternal life has been imparted in here.
It was really exciting when I walked in. I was like my mouth was lit. I was so like overwhelmed. Like, and the worship, I actually like felt the presence, like the Spirit of God, like in the room. That's how like powerful it was.
The Holy Ghost is always here. You always feel His presence. And it's just, it's life-changing.
Where the word of the Lord has been preached, faith has been preached, love has been preached, that's where you need to be.
If you want to draw closer to the Lord, come to this meeting.
You and Jesus are exactly alike. You're not a little like Him. You are exactly like Him. You are as much like Jesus as Adam was like God. Hallelujah. You were recreated in Christ Jesus by the Word of the living God.
Every single time we've been to an event, we know something has happened and we have walked away just... Our lives have been changed and transformed.
You better be here, nowhere else. The things what you grab from here, it's so powerful.
The Lord spoke something to me that has forever changed my thinking. He said, there is something about it when people who know how to use their faith come together to pray.
Take the limits off your church. Take the limits off your ministries. Take the limits off your life. I believe I'm increasing in supernatural wealth transfer. Increase, increase, increase. Give God praise.
Jesus, who is the healer, does not heal you because you have faith. He heals you because He loves you.
I could not walk without the name of
my You got it. You got it. Praise God.
This is a great opportunity, and I'm going to cherish it for a very long time.
It will be an explosion across Canada. I truly believe it.
Thank you for all that you're doing for Canada. We love you, and we love the passion and the hunger and the thirst that you have for God and what you're pouring out to others.
The joy of the Lord is my strength, Mr. Devil. I'm laughing at you. I'm laughing at your cancer. I'm laughing at everything you are and everything you do. Jesus whipped you and brought you to naught. You're a zero. Ha, ha, ha. Ha, 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 ha. God sits in the heavens and laughs at you. And we've been raised up to sit with Him in heavenly places. And by the Lord God, sit with Him and laugh with Him.
Ah! Now, Friday is always offering day on the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast, but I want to get this in case I run out of time or something. You can go to our website, kcm.org. You can watch all of these services, the whole thing at one time. So I wanted you to know that because if I was you, I'd do it. Praise God. Now then, offering day on Friday always is. And Father, we pray over this offering today according to your word, and we pray for the people. Reveal to the people what you would have them do concerning the finances and the outreach of this ministry and their part in it. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Galatians chapter 6. Let him that's taught in the word communicate or respond together unto him that teaches in all good things. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. For he that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Today, I wanted you to see, as this ministry, we spend a lot of time overseas. We just got back from Lima, Peru, and we were in Africa. We're going to Bogota, Colombia. We just have meetings of all, some little small meetings, some great huge meetings. But I wanted you to see what you're sowing into in the name of Jesus. It is strong and it is good ground. And we are committed before God to keep this ministry pure. And as our partners will tell you, particularly our longtime partners, man, we're good partners. And you're good partners. And together, we can get this gospel preached all over this world. Hallelujah. Join Gloria and Kelly next week on the broadcast. I've been hearing some conversation in the background, and it's sounding good. I can tell you that right now. Until then, this is Kenneth Copeland reminding you again that Jesus is Lord.
Kenneth and Gloria Copeland would like to thank you for your faithful support. Now you can text the letters KCM and the amount you'd like to give to 36609.
Hello, I'm Gloria Copeland, and this is my daughter, Kelly. Join us for 2 weeks on the Believer's Voice of Victory. Let us share with you what we've learned about the fruit of the Spirit, how it's developed through oneness with Jesus. This is a key to life of freedom.
You won't want to miss these special broadcasts.